Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 166. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and join me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, sir?
Doing good. It's a little hot, Pete.
Oh, yeah? I'm telling you, man. It's nice. The weather is beautiful here in North Carolina. I'm enjoying this heat. At least we're not in California where everything's burning up.
You know, I feel like we made an agreement a long time ago to not make fun of people in California wildfires on the podcast.
I feel bad.
You explicitly called someone out on that, but
not making fun. I'm actually feeling pretty bad. I mean, several people we know have been chased from their homes. So yeah, that stuff is no joke, but I'm glad I'm not there. But as luck would have it, John, our guest is actually in California. So we need to check on him and see how's it going. Welcome back, Michael Roy. Is your house on fire? Are you safe?
Thanks for having me again, guys. We're safe. We are good. I'm just south of San Francisco in the peninsula, and everything around us is on fire.
Oh, man.
So the air, for some reason, we're in like a pocket where the air quality isn't awful. But if you open up, you know, like the whatever the government app is that tracks all the air quality, or I use a third party one called Purple Air, which is really nice. And it's awful all the way from the airport down to San Jose, up the East Bay. It's in and in the southwest of San Jose where there's Big Basin. It's just it's all bad.
Wow.
It's raining ash from the sky right now. So
that's insane. The weird part is though, like when you see the pictures online, it actually looks really cool. Not that I would want to be there, but it's beautiful.
It's incredible. I mean, it's nature doing its nature thing, you know. California, we're kind of used to that. It's some folks are like, yeah, a fire. Yeah, call me when there's an evacuation order. This year we've had like earthquakes, lightning, tornado, fires, you know, like it's just Earth likes to really mess with California. I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I've seen some folks driving out of the fires from up north over in like Lake Berryessa, and it's like Armageddon. You're driving out of Dante's Peak.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those are the pictures I've seen. It's been pretty wild. Some of you may remember a few weeks back we had Mike on talking about VMware Project Nautilus, which is a really, really cool project at VMware. But Mike, I heard there's a new press release this week that is worth mentioning.
Yeah, absolutely. We are finally able to sort of take the veil off of our 2020 releases. So we are issuing brand new .0 releases this year, and it's going to be Fusion 12 and Workstation 16. And it's exciting. It's the first major release we've had in a couple of years. We've been adding a lot of features to the 0.5 releases and sort of helping folks stretch out that version and make it last for as long as we can. But we're at the point where we really have to cut and go forward in a different direction, particularly like in it from a technologies perspective, particularly because a lot of the changes that Apple and Microsoft have been introducing to the operating systems itself that require us to really re-architect things from the ground up, you know, to adopt to the new behavior.
Yeah.
Like in the case of macOS, for example, on Big Sur, we've got support for that both as a host and a guest, but Apple put restrictions on kernel extensions. And, you know, we really need kernel extensions to run. It's sort of how we, you know, we built the products. It's based off of ESX. So we have the same code, the same type of behavior, but on Big Sur, because they don't allow that, we've actually re-architected things so that we are using Apple's native APIs.
Hmm.
We did the same thing already in Windows, actually, whereby we are leveraging the Hyper-V Windows Hypervisor platform APIs, which is kind of weird when you say like workstations using the Windows Hypervisor APIs, but
yeah.
It is strange. But at the same time, it's great because then folks can use WSL, you can use Hyper-V, you can use Docker, you can use our containers, our virtual machines, all of them at the same time. Use the best tools for, you know, the work at hand, which has always sort of been my, you know, guiding light, which is it's not about trying to derive a specific tool. It's more about giving folks options and the ability to pick the right tools for whatever it is they're trying to accomplish.
So just curious, are the APIs, I know since you're doing them for Apple and for Microsoft, is there API parity, if you will? Like, is everything that's available in Windows also available for Mac?
No, actually. And that's where things are getting a little tricky. So the three main areas of APIs that we had to, you know, adopt are networking, USB, and the monitor, the kernel, the operation of the x86 process itself. And on Apple, there's, you know, we're actually really further ahead on Apple, even though we released it later, than we are on Windows, just specifically due to the APIs that we've been given. So as a case in point, on Big Sur, we can run nested guests. So you can run ESXi and then VMs inside of there on Big Sur using Apple's Hypervisor framework. But on Windows, using Hyper-V, we can't. It's just a limitation of the Hyper-V stack itself. So we're working with our partners and that is a known issue, and we're working through it, and it's a high requirement for us. But it's just when you have to leverage these APIs from those vendors, it's up to them on when they deliver these things.
Okay,
so this is awesome. We've got the new versions. What's it going to cost? I guess is one question that keeps coming up.
Yeah, it's a great question, and we made changes this year. We're actually really excited. So across the board, prices by and large have come down. So Workstation, which was $250, is now $199. For a new license, and it was like $150 for an upgrade. It's now $100 for an upgrade. So we brought that back. But the big change here is around the Fusion pricing. So Workstation has had this dual licensing model and the sort of commercial license with Workstation Pro, and then you have this free for personal use option on Workstation Player. So if you're a company, you need to license it one license per device. But if you're a home user or a student, you're learning about operating systems and virtualization, you can go ahead and install Workstation Player and use that as long as you like for no cost. And we're taking the same approach with Fusion. So we are introducing a new product. It's called VMware Fusion. Fusion 12 Player. And Fusion Player is licensed in the exact same way that Workstation Player is licensed. So it's available free for personal use, and it's also available as a commercial license.
Ooh.
So one of the things before was Fusion Standard, we called it, was only available on the web, and it was only available to end users. But we had a lot of corporate customers saying like, hey, I don't necessarily want all the great networking customization features and clones and vSphere connectivity that Fusion Pro has. I just want to be able to run the corporate desktop on my employee's own laptop. They're working from home. They need to use the corporate machine. It's got VPN back home. It's isolated from the machine that they're physically on. So, they have control over it. And they weren't able to buy Fusion. It wasn't available through our channel partners, where most of them have to transact. So now this is available for the channel. They can go ahead and buy them by the thousand, deploy Windows on Mac in the fleet at large, and have that type of, support that work from home, bring your own device type of initiative. But at the same time, it's available free for personal use. So if you're, working on open source software, party down, grab that license. We have a way to, you go to a web page, click a button, type in your email, we give you the license key, put it in the product, away you go. And that is a perpetual license that's good forever. So Wow. Yeah, it's a great way to get folks to, make sure that they're getting the most of their VMware investment. And at the same time, it opens up this whole new, mode of developers who are used to VirtualBox or other tools that, don't have a price tag associated with them.
Well, like one conversation I had recently with a parent who was trying to make sense of like schooling stuff was that they wanted to create virtual machines for their kids to basically do their school in, because they would lock everything down in the virtual machine, as well as, if they had some security concerns, because I think some of the schooling stuff required flash, like kind of some barbaric stuff. And they're like, okay, I want that thing in its own VM and I can just snap revert it, if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to do their day job. And I mean, that would fall under personal use. Like that's something they could do with. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the whole intention, was let's open this up. Let's get it into the hands of more folks. And the nice thing too, is it also includes the new Kubernetes technology and the container technology that we've been talking about. So this whole Project Nautilus thing, right? So it's, Fusion Player includes vCuddle, right? So you can
build containers. Nice.
Yeah. And it also, vCuddle has been updated. So now it actually can deploy Kubernetes.
Oh, wow.
In a very interesting way. So
is that kind of uses or?
Right. So, today we have a Docker machine driver for Minikube. So it's really easy. You can brew install Minikube start, boom. It works with the Fusion driver. But Kind is different. Kind actually is like standing up almost like a custom version of Kubernetes.
We should define Kind, by the way. Kind is Kubernetes and nested Docker.
Just Kubernetes and Docker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea is, Kubernetes in itself is a bunch of Linux processes that work in concert. And when you actually create it and deploy it, a lot of the time those processes are either installed on the metal or they can be installed in Docker containers.
I see.
So Kind, the whole point of it is it was developed by the Kubernetes maintainers themselves to work on Kubernetes itself. And so when you're building Kubernetes, you might have custom objects that are Kubernetes that you've added things to, or you're tweaking, or maybe you're integrating it. Like for example, with us here, we have these operators. And so we're building like VM operators and this other operator, and they work with Tanzu and vSphere with Tanzu and vSphere with Kubernetes and all that jazz. And, you know, you would use Kind to define your code and your components of the Kubernetes cluster. And then you do, you know, Kind create cluster based off of that config, stands it all up just like it were a regular cluster. And then you can exercise it and test it and make sure it's, you know, doing what you expect it to. Some other folks actually also use it to use what's called cluster API to do an operation called bootstrapping, which is like you, in order to achieve or in order to obtain a Kubernetes cluster, you must first have a Kubernetes cluster. So it's this fun, you know, turtles all the way down. Yeah.
Circular. This sounds like the issue we had vSAN originally, where it's like, hey, you need to configure vSAN. You go to your vCenter. Well, I don't have a vCenter yet. Oh, well, you need to deploy vSAN to put the vCenter on it. Like, you know, we came up with the bootstrap method to get around that circular dependency too.
Right. So this, the community developed this to be able to use cluster API to develop or to quickly stand up another cluster. So you can spin up that Kind cluster and then use cluster API to create another cluster somewhere else, which is important, you know, given how Kubernetes sort of works inside of vSphere land. Cluster API is the model that we use to deploy everything there.
Yeah, I like the fact that you guys are also making this free for home use. I mean, that just makes sense. And I've seen other companies do that. Veeam does that for, you know, up to a certain amount of users for you know, using their stuff. And yeah, it just makes sense to be able to, you know, give a little bit of, you know, access to this stuff without having to have the huge enterprise licenses. So that makes sense that VMware is doing that.
Yeah, and it's been a long time coming. You know, we've definitely had folks say, hey, like, I got Workstation Player. Where is the Workstation Player for Mac? And yeah, the answer is, you know, go pay $50 and buy it. And now the answer is go use it to your heart's content when you, you know, are working in the office, get your employer to pay for it.
And that's on Fusion 12?
Right.
Nice.
Fusion 12 Player, Fusion 12 Pro.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right. Well, Mike, I know there's been an announcement on this, so I will leave the link to that in the show notes. Anything else that we need to know about Fusion?
Oh, man, there's so many good features and I don't even know where to begin this year.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I think most folks are going to notice is, you know, support for Big Sur, of course, host and guest. They're also going to notice DirectX 11. So we've got, you know, this has been in tech preview for a little bit, but you can now do DX 11 games in VMs on Windows 10, OpenGL 4.1. And at the same time, we also added eGPU support, and that's for Mac. Workstation, we're getting there. Windows needs APIs, once again, to do this stuff. But Apple's got great eGPU APIs, so now we support, you know.
Is that doing it like a direct pass-through to the VM, or is that sharing the eGPU between the host OS and the VM?
Yeah, it's sharing. We're not there on the pass-through front. The way that it works is, you know, we use Metal on the Mac to render DirectX graphics in the guest. So with an eGPU, that Metal rendering engine is now being done on a much more powerful GPU.
Yeah,
as opposed to the internal.
Honestly, I've always been impressed. I've worked with some of the DirectX emulation in the past to play. I was playing Dota or something in a VM way back in the day. And I've always been impressed with, like, I mean, it's not bare metal performance, but it was good enough for my needs. I mean, I wasn't, you know, trying to play Crysis or anything.
Yeah, now Crysis might actually run. It might still melt your desk, but, you know, there's a good chance.
I mean, it was going to do that to my laptop anyways. So, yeah. You know. I mean, what is the new like test of ridiculous resource intensive game? Star Citizen,
it's,
probably.
It's still Crysis. Okay, I mean, Star Citizen. People play that. I thought there was a huge debacle about that one.
It's largely a bug simulator, but it's hilarious. So.
Well, the cool thing is, you know, like, I've been running 3D Mark on it for days, and, you know, without it on my 2017, 2018 MacBook Pro with the Radeon, I was pulling 3D Mark results at about, you know, 7,000-8,000. Now it's hitting 12,000, 14,000, 15,000 on the Skydiver test. So it's huge performance improvements.
I just want to know if I can play Mario Kart. That's really all I want to play.
Ooh, right. Emulator. You should be able to totally do that. Yeah, I mean, other than that, you know, we got support for vSphere 7 across the board, so you can deploy vSphere 7, you can connect to remote vSphere 7 instances. And we actually also did some stuff to help with accessibility. So folks who are blind or have other accessibility needs, there's this thing called Section 508, and it's a compliance standard. And so we did a lot of work to increase our compliance with that. It's super important, I think,
nice,
as a, you know, force for good to make sure that we're making computers accessible to everybody. Yeah, for sure. Of, you know, who you are.
Well, that's good stuff.
Wow. I feel like there's a lot more features to talk about. We could have probably done a full-on episode on 12.
Well, you can always have me back for a follow-up as time goes on, because we're not done. Like, we've added some stuff for this release, but we're, you know, there are some things that, like I mentioned, require the operating system on Apple's side and on Microsoft's side to help complement.
Yeah.
One case in point is I'll share a little bit there. is we are in this release, we are issuing we have an experimental feature, like a tech preview feature that we're making available, which a lot of folks have been asking for a long time. So this is my one more thing moment.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing 3D accelerated macOS guests.
Ooh.
So yeah, so Apple created this new paravirtualized graphics device that we can take advantage of. And there's some VMX hack you got to do to turn it on, and it's not near production quality yet, but we're waiting on some fixes on Apple's side, and we're going to try and work around some of those on our side in the meantime. But it basically makes macOS run like it was on your desktop.
Ooh,
well, and this is a really big thing, because I, a long time ago, did some consulting work in the game development space at, and I'll tell you, those guys' NDAs, man, they put everyone else to shame. Like, I'm not aware that I'm allowed to acknowledge those days existed on my calendar, but they really need to test. I mean, they want to test in virtual machines for obviously ease of use and things like that, but they also need to test at, graphics intensive applications and make sure there's not regressions, and being able to pass that through and being able to get real performance on that, that's going to help a lot of them with their different workflows.
Yeah, totally. Like, I mean, just using it, if snappy, everything moves great, it's just that you don't have, because today the GPU is actually rendered by the CPU on the host, right? So, everything that's graphics related goes through the main chip, which has a bottleneck. But in this case, because the GPU is rendering it, so everything's, nice and snappy, it's metal compliant, which also is cool for development, right? So if you have Xcode and you need to run like the iPhone simulator, you can actually do that now. Whereas before it just wasn't possible. It would just, crash, or, it would give some metal not supported error if you were trying to, run your code in that simulator in a VM.
I don't think people appreciate like how many different regressions people have to do of testing things against sub OS 10 versions, because the APIs are constantly changing, and it's like, okay, we're going to ship this new game or this update for this game, but does it work in the last three versions of OS 10, or the major patches between them? And being able to rapidly regression that and have those snapshot trees and Fusion to go through means you don't have to have a stack of laptops. Like, the hardware collection some of these guys had was just crazy.
I can imagine. I know how much work we had to do just to get it to stand up. Graphics are hard, man. It's a tough thing. Mm-hmm. The one caveat here is, that going forward, we will definitely have that ability, right? But this is a thing that absolutely requires macOS 10.11, 11.0, Big Sur, as the VM in order for it to function. So, Catalina and earlier, it's not going to happen. But going forward, it's going to get better.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Those app developers, they need to make sure they do that code for people like my wife, who still has an iPhone 5. She takes such good care of her stuff that it just, the software ends up being the problem, not the condition of the devices.
Truth.
Good stuff, Mike. All right. Yeah. So as I mentioned, I will leave links to all of the updates for Fusion 12 and on the show notes of this page. And I hope that you'll come back soon and give us some more updates. It seems like you guys are going pretty fast and furious with your updates.
Stopping these days.
Good stuff. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this in all episodes at thespeakingpodcast.com. Big thanks to Michael Roy for joining us this week and telling us all about Fusion 12. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.